internet ventures. Bornstein had been at ABC barely 6 months, and now Eisner wanted him to move to California. The only experience he had with the internet was setting up the successful ESPN site, which was run by a Seattle company called Starwave, in partnership with Microsoft's MSN network. From the early days of the internet, the new medium had posed a challenge to the old media companies like Disney. The internet was a hybrid of distribution and content. Would consumers pay for content as they did for cable television? Or was the internet more like a broadcast network where revenues came from advertising? Was it both? No one owned the internet, but companies like America Online and Yahoo were portals, selling access to the internet's vast possibilities. Amazon and eBay were content sites, drawing users to the shopping services they provided. How could traditional media companies protect their markets? Simply as a defensive measure, every media company was forced into creating internet sites that corresponded to their newspapers, magazines, and networks, profitable or not, and most were not, given that they generated little revenue from either users or advertisers. At Disney, these issues were constantly on the agenda for strategic planning, first under Larry Murphy, and then, after his departure, under Peter Murphy. Like many executives of their generation, both Eisner and Frank Wells had been initially technophobic, slow to embrace new advances and impatient when they failed to work as promised. But with the rise of the personal computer and internet access, Eisner had become a voracious user of email. Its speed and convenience perfectly fit his impulsive personality, especially when he was suffering from insomnia. Soon, everyone at Disney carried BlackBerries, constantly scanning them for urgent messages from Eisner, who used a variety of email pen names, Michael Rust, Michael Breckenridge. Eisner also relied on Bran Farron, an eccentric Imagineer who at least gave Eisner the illusion that he was abreast of the latest high-tech developments. Others thought Farron lacked depth and scientific rigor, while conceding that he was adept at spinning fanciful visions of the future that seemed to appeal to Eisner. As usual, Eisner's strong inclination was to build an internet business from within. He'd summarily rejected Ovitz's proposal to buy a minority interest in Yahoo. Then Larry Murphy, working with Tom Staggs and a new chief technology strategist, Kevin Mayer, examined various options and in August 1997 recommended a partnership with Yahoo. Staggs had negotiated a potential deal with Yahoo in which Disney would acquire a 10 to 15% stake in Yahoo for $180 million in return for Yahoo giving prominent access to all of its sites. The logic seemed compelling to Murphy. At a meeting to sell Eisner on the deal, Murphy argued that while the portals were likely to emerge as the dominant forces on the internet business, Disney had arrived too late to establish its own branded portal without a massive and risky investment. The alternative was to leverage Disney's existing sites and strong brand name to create a partnership with one of the leading portals. Murphy considered $180 million a modest sum to gain a stake in the leading portal. Murphy and his team had chosen Yahoo over AOL, with whom they'd also had brief negotiations. AOL had suggested that Disney buy AOL outright, or even that AOL might buy Disney. Eisner personally called AOL chairman Steve Case